Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Sashmi. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am an author of rom-com as well as YA rom-com, and I'm actually spreading out into YA fantasy. I grew up in Texas, and I'm currently living in Hawaii, and I'm here to talk about Isha Unscripted.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Okay, so first we need to talk about, you know, what that you just started writing, and how are you managing to write in multiple genres and multiple age groups? So...
Yeah, so I have been writing since I was 10. That's the earliest that I can remember. Short stories. I was really into horror and fantasy. I don't know when rom-com came into the picture, but it seems to have kind of hold on me. And I think I just kind of stayed in rom-com because my first books were rom-com. Mm-hmm. And I guess readers wanted more of that. So I wanted to build a brand, and I still had stories in me. But my true love has always been the dark side of things. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to start exploring that area.
So talk to us about the process of writing a fantasy romance, because that's a different, there's different layers. You have world building, you got plot, you got characters, you have to make sense of it all. And so it requires more work, you know, from your end, more imagination, you know.
Yeah, my imagination runs pretty wild. The fact that in fantasy you can just do whatever you want to do. I mean, of course it has to make sense, and there has to be like a system in a world, and things have to be logical within that world, but you really don't have many boundaries. And that's one of the things that I love about fantasy. And the fantasy that I'm working on actually has very little romance in it. Like, I really wanted to stay away from romance. I think I might have had to fight my agent and editor a little bit to say, no, this isn't going to be a romance. This is going to be dark and dreary, and people are going to die. I promise you. But when I write contemporary novels, which is what all my rom-coms are, I kind of just go from the hip. I'm not really much of a plotter. I know I have a story or a title, or maybe a character has fully developed in my head, and I kind of just wing it and go from there. And then I edit and piece together things as I go along. But with fantasy, because there's such a huge world, like the fantasy that I'm writing right now is taking from Indian geography and mythology, and a bit of also Greek mythology. That's what I grew up on. And it's a completely whole new world. And so it's really fun to develop these areas. But I have to have notes now. You know, I have to have an outline. I have to have character sheets. I actually went back and counted all the characters, the small and big characters. And there's over 32 memorable characters. And I'm like, some of these don't even have names, but I can remember all of them. So I have to have everything very organized for fantasy. And the fact that the fantasy is going to be a series, I have to keep track of it even more. And I have to plot out ahead of time, because there might be details that I need in book one or book two that you're really not going to explore more of until book four. But I know readers are very intelligent, and they'll call you out as a reader. Like, okay, author, you said this, but in book one, it was a different thing, right? It could be the smallest detail. So now I have to make sure that I'm really being vigilant about my details. That's so, a big difference.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, you definitely need to have a serious Bible, like, from the get-go, you know, and like maps and all together, and like how to make sense, and like this character is going to show up here, but it may have an Easter egg for books from this other place. Yes. You know,
and I love Easter eggs. So I'm like dropping little hints everywhere. And the map, you mentioned the map, that's a really fun part of fantasy, because I get to have a map now, and I have to have a map actually, because there's so many different areas to this world. And it's like, Logically, in my head, I think you can travel there in a couple of days, but it should really take you several weeks and, things like that. It's fun. I love it.
I love this. All right. So speaking of rom-coms, because that's where you started, were you a rom-com like movie watcher or rom-com reader? Like what led you to discover this genre as getting your start with?
So I grew up reading, as I mentioned, fantasy and horror, but my best friend was into like the Harlequin romances in high school. And so I would read a bunch of her books, and they're actually her mom's books. I don't even know if her mom knew that we were reading them, but we were reading all these Harlequin books. And I realized, oh, okay, so romance is a genre in books. It's not just horror, fantasy, and dark stuff. There's other things that I enjoy. And so I started to branch out, and I kind of like romance because, it gives you the certain hope and happiness, and you can get lost in the world. And even movies and books that are a different nature, like maybe they are a horror or a thriller or a psychological thriller. If there's even a bit of romance, that just kind of enhances it. And I started to add that into my books. In my debut, The Trouble with Hating You was actually set out to be a more serious women's fiction because it touches on topics like sexual assault and bereavement and tragedy and toxicity and all these things. But then I had a guy character pop into my head, and so he ended up being in the book. And the more that he was in the book, the more romantic it got, even though I still kept the heavier topics. So that book was considered a rom-com, and ever since, it's kind of like, okay, you already established yourself in this area, so let's just keep going. Let's see if you can write more rom-coms. And I try to write as many as possible, but I can't promise readers that there'll always be a rom-com from me.
It is all good. It is. I love the fact you're exploring different areas and going back to, sometimes like your dream, like your childhood dream, like your passion. So,
The darkness.
the darker stuff, like honestly. And sometimes you just need to explore the darkness, and there's Mary with it too. So this is really exciting.
And I like that, and I appreciate the fact that I'm able to branch out, not being pigeonholed into just the one area. So I would do it as long as I can do it.
There we go. So let's chat about Isha's Unscripted. Tell us the other bit of Hitch.
So Isha Unscripted is a story that was very heavily inspired by my own life, just being that creative person and a family and culture where you're supposed to get a degree and you're supposed to have a 9-to-5 job with benefits, and you're supposed to come out of college with a good chance of getting a job. But here we have Isha Unscripted, who unfortunately has to move back in with her parents because of the situation in Austin. And this was inspired by the huge influx of tech companies like Apple recently. Apple and Tesla and some other companies recently moved into Austin. And so everything kind of skyrocketed, and the economy kind of became saturated. So it's hard to find a job, it's hard to keep rent. And so this is Isha's life. And she still is very diehard in pursuing her dream of becoming a screenwriter. And she is willing to do whatever it takes because now she's facing an ultimatum. She's living with her parents, who are very generous, but they're also like, you're 28 years old, you need to get your life together. You're wasting time. Like, what are you doing with your life? And it's understandable, but at the same time, it's heartbreaking being on the creative end and thinking, are my dreams really a waste of time? Was all that time in college pursuing a degree in screenwriting a waste of time and money and effort? So Isha is commiserating with her best friend, who is also her cousin, Rohan. And Rohan's like, no, we're going to find a way. We're going to get to Matthew McConaughey because he is actually her professor, her former professor in the book, and he taught at UT. So, and the book takes place and in Austin, I should mention. So she's running around UT in Austin looking for Matthew McConaughey. But the problem is that she made the mistake of having a couple of drinks, because she is on that edge of, I might be losing it, but I'm trying really hard to stay there, and maybe I can't, so I need a drink, and make some bad decisions along the way. And the book was inspired by my cousin Rohan, but also the movie Bad Moms. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's kind of you have these somewhat mature women, they're older, they have careers and families and mortgages and things like that, but then they're at a point in their time where they're just kind of making bad decisions, and it's really enhanced because they're drinking and they're kind of like, you know, F it, because this is life and I need to drink, I need to let loose for once. And that moment of letting loose is a snowball effect of a bunch of hijinks. And that's really what Isha is about. It's kind of a fun, silly, hijinksy type of book about a creative woman trying to mature and make her decisions. And there's a hint of rom-com in there. So it's not a full rom-com, I will preface by saying that. Don't go into it thinking it's going to be just about a relationship and romance. It is a lot of other things. There's a clown in there. There's a chase scene. There's a lot of wacky things that happen.
Oh, this sounds so good. Oh, I can't wait for listeners to pick it up and enjoy it. So let's chat some book recommendations. What kind of books do you tend to read now? Do you go back to horror, fantasy, or are you, you know?
Yeah, when I'm trying to get into the mind frame of writing rom-coms, I will pick up a rom-com. So like Beach Read was one of my favorites by Emily Henry. And aside from that, I really enjoy the dark stuff, like on audiobook especially. Mm-hmm. Mexican Gothic was one of my favorite books on audiobook. So listen to that, you know, in the dark at night, so the storm outside, it's really atmospheric. And I really enjoy her writing and the worlds. Cause I've also read, I believe it's called Gods of Jade and Sorrow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I recently got into thrillers. So I'm kind of listening to on audiobooks, the kind of stories that I enjoy watching. Yeah. But once in a while, I will go back to romance. I'm looking for something more lighthearted or very fun and easy. And by easy, I mean, like, it's easy to get through it. It's and more enjoyable because I'm not tense from the horror aspect. Yeah. Or the thriller or the suspense of it. And also to get into, you know, the mindset of, okay, I want to write my next rom-com now. So let me get into the mood.
Yeah.
That's so, like Emily Henry puts you in the mood.
So in terms of audiobooks, when did you start listening to them? Like, and, you know, do you have any favorite narrator or favorite way to listen to them? You know?
I don't understand why, but I've only recently began listening to audiobooks, and this was a few years back.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I've tried a couple of audiobooks in the past and I just didn't feel as engaged as reading. But I realized, okay, this is a great way to kind of lay in bed with the lights off, not have that that screen in front of my eyes, and just really get immersed in the story. And then later I realized, oh yeah, I can also do things like cleaning and cooking and whatever else. Like I can concentrate on these two things at the same time. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can't, obviously you can't do that while you're reading. Well, hopefully you're not trying to cook while you're reading and burning your food. But so ever since, I've really been into audiobooks, and I do prefer them now more. But I will, if I want a story, I'll read it or listen to it any way that I can.
Yeah, I learned that I needed somebody to read me a story. It's kind of like a child when your parents read the story. It's the same idea. It's just like somebody read it to me.
Yes. You know what? Audiobook narrators are very engaging. They know, yeah. I mean, they're professionals. Then they're a lot of them are professionally went to professional places and schools to be actors and actresses and voice actors. So they have that voice. They know how to have the pitch. They know when to slow down and speed up, and they know how to pronounce things. That's always great.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I can imagine, especially for fantasy romance, or like, you know, those books that have like all these like weird names. So like have an audiobook narrator tell you like how to pronounce it. Actually, I read a thriller and I said it. I speak Spanish first language and then English is my second language. And I saw the name, it was B. I think the name was B, but I saw it in Bea. And I was like, when I heard it, I was like, wait, this is a different person. I was like, no, the narrator's telling me how it's actually pronounced correctly, you know?
Yes. So the narrators are, you know, pretty educated. They know how to pronounce big words correctly. But then on the author side, I can tell you that the narrators will oftentimes send a list, or the publisher will send a list of words that are not quote unquote common, mm-hmm. and ask the author to record how they would pronounce it. So like slowly, syllable by syllable, and then again in conversation. So, I believe narrators kind of do some homework and research and practice. Of course they do, because you read it, you listen to an audiobook and it's perfect, I
Yeah.
appreciate that. I appreciate them.
Thank you for the insight as an author, some of the things that you may have to do from the when your book gets, produced as an audiobook, which is so interesting as well. So and thank you for indulging me in my audiobook questions, because I'm like I'm a somewhat newer audiobook listener, and I listen to more audiobooks than I read now, and it's actually been kind of like a nice little way to accomplish so much more, but at the same time being like have this like calming, it feels really calming, like having a
It
story being
does.
told,
Yes. And most of the audiobooks that I listen to, if you have it on the original setting, if you don't speed it up, they have a slower pace. And so it is very calming. And their voices are just very nice. I mean, they're like I mentioned, they're professionals. They're very soothing. I love audiobooks.
Awesome.
Welcome to
So
the
yeah.
team.
So, Sashni, tell us where we can find you online.
So my website is www.sajinipatel.com, and you can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sajini Patel Books. And I believe I'm also on Facebook, but I'm not very active on Facebook, but that is also Sajini Patel Books.
Sashni, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.